Good morning, Table of Grace. I'm Reverend Stephanie Reedmeyer, and I love that I'm able to be with you all this morning preaching. We are going to continue our current sermon series, which is called The Essentials, Abundant Living in Uncertain Times. And this has been a really cool series to do for the past month or so, because I think we've all felt some form of uncertainty in our lives. We kind of have these questions of when things are going to get back to normal, and the uncertainty is almost palpable around us. I also really love this series because we've been covering it in both the sanctuary and in Table of Grace. So Chris has been preaching on it every Sunday, and Chad has also been preaching on it. And in this time of social isolation, it feels like this is really connecting us as an entire church body, which is really cool. So I am super excited for us to continue this series. The past few weeks, we've talked about faith, purpose, and self-care. And today's focus is going to be on connection, how community and being in relationships with others can really ground us and ground our faith, especially in uncertain times. Our scripture reading this morning will be from the Gospel of John. It's believed that John's gospel is written to a pretty specific group of people in a specific synagogue. And there's a few things that have been assumed of this audience. And I think it's important for us to know before we dive into the scripture. So the things that scholars assume about the audience which the book of John is written to is that they are in conflict with one another. So those within the synagogue are actually in conflict with each other, that they are in conflict with others of their same belief, and that they are in conflict with the larger culture around them too. It's important that we understand this audience because we are talking about connection. And as we talk about connection, we need to also realize the conflict that already exists in a lot of people's hearts and minds as they read and hear these scriptures. So I wanted to set up this broad context because I love that we're able to talk about conflict and connection at the same time, because we too are a conflicted people. Maybe you feel a lot of conflict in your life right now. Maybe that uncertainty has led to this kind of disagreement amongst you and your family or you and your friends. And still, we recognize that importance of connection. So my first question for us as you tune in with us online is, what conflicts may be devouring your life right now? What are those conflicts that are swirling around in your life and in your head? Feel free to drop it out in our chat if you'd like to. If it's more of a private thing, keep it inside. We understand. So what are those conflicts? Many of us may feel as if this uncertain time we're living in is bringing up more conflict and dissension than we're typically accustomed to. Our digital content manager here at the church, Ashley Danner, recognized this. She realized that although we are all worshiping together digitally, we're still yearning for ways to build connections with one another as we stay apart. Enter the Quarantine Podcast. Our communication staff now produces weekly podcasts, multiple a week, that are designed to help us stay connected with one another and with our faith. I have binged these podcasts. They're all about 20 to 40 minutes long, which is about as long as I can make it on my daily walk. It's like they're designed specifically for Stephanie's daily walk. And Ashley realized that conflict is all around us lately, and it's sometimes beyond our control. By creating this podcast, she began to give her listeners a way to connect with one another in the midst of uncertainty. What has been a lifesaver or an outlet for you while we've been practicing social distancing? What's something that's really kept you grounded or kept you connected to the world around you during this time period? For me, these podcasts have really, really helped. Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John. We're going to be in John 13, verses 31 through 35. Hear these words. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. you will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. And here's the part I really want us to tune into today. I give you a new commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen. We've already talked about this kind of broad context of John, the people who are reading it and devouring it, being people of conflict, yet still yearning for that connection to Christ. But now we need to consider where this exact passage falls in Scripture. So immediately before Jesus says all of this that we just read to his disciples, Jesus actually foretells Judas betraying him, which is a pretty heavy topic. And then right after where we end off, after Jesus says, people will recognize you as my disciples because of the way you love each other, right after that, Jesus foretells of Peter denying Christ. So we have this betrayal, we have this command to love, and then we have this denial. And the love is sandwiched right in between these two conflicting things. These two things that remind us that the disciples weren't perfect people, that they were human beings like us. And yet, Jesus calls them to love. This shows us that this isn't an easy call from Jesus. We know we're supposed to love one another, right? We know we're called to love. But this moment, this particular call to love, is sandwiched between two pretty powerful and negative moments, a betrayal and a denial. The conflict is abounding. It's a difficult call to love, a love in the midst of betrayal and denial. The very people Jesus is challenging to love one another are already actively against one another. They're in the middle of conflict, and yet Jesus calls for connection. Jesus calls for love. What do you find difficult about showing love to others? We too are humans. We make mistakes. It's difficult sometimes to show love. What makes it hard for you? A year ago this week, the world lost a prominent Christian author by the name of Rachel Held Evans. I'd also argue that she wasn't just an author, she was a theologian, but that's neither here nor there for this debate. On this one-year anniversary of her death, many of her colleagues and many pastors and lay people around the world reflected on how her work and death had impacted their lives and their ministries. Rachel was known for growing up in the evangelical faith and then going through this really deep deconstruction period where she broke down her faith and reconstructed it to meet the God she knew to be true in her own life. The stories and remembrances that have been shared are all worth reading, and they're a great way to honor her life. One of the tributes that stood out to me was actually one made by Beth Moore. Beth Moore is probably more recognizable to most people than Rachel Held Evans. Beth is an evangelist who is known for her Bible studies that are designed specifically for women. Beth shared that she and Rachel did not see eye to eye on a number of things regarding faith and regarding the interpretation of Scripture. They disagreed so much that on social media, each woman's fans took to trolling the other. They would write hateful things about the woman who held different beliefs than their own. The trolling got so bad that Beth found herself seriously concerned about Rachel's well-being after a particular onslaught of trolling by Beth's own followers. In order for Beth to reach out to Rachel, she had to first follow her on Twitter, which, if this is above your head, just they had to agree to talk to one another in Twitter language. So Beth followed her on Twitter so that they could message one another. Beth shared that their interaction was brief, but they discussed what a toll constantly being attacked could have on a person's soul. Beth and Rachel did not become BFFs. They did not come to agreements on certain faith-based controversies. But Beth points to this moment as the moment where she truly realized that Rachel was a real-life person, not just someone behind a Twitter handle with differing views. Out of their conflict came a connection, an understanding that grace can fill the space in between disagreements. It was a difficult type of love, a love that was understated and behind the scenes and not loud, but still a love that brought two humans to care for one another, even as they found themselves at opposite ends of the faith spectrum. In what unexpected ways have you found a connection with someone you used to have a conflict with? What are those moments that kind of tore you and someone apart, and yet you were able to come back together because of a particular connection? What was that moment like? How did you feel? As I listened to the quarantine podcast last week, I couldn't help but slow down my walking pace to digest the words that I was hearing. In this particular episode, Ashley interviews Jana Gramon, our director of serving others here at Christ United. And Jana has this story to share.
I'll tell you a quick story. So when we first started doing Sandwich Blessings, which is a lunch program once a week, every Wednesday, we go over to the assistance center and help with lunch for people who are homeless, and they come and get a shower, street-side showers, and then are also able to enjoy lunch during that time. And so one of the first, probably the first month we started doing that, a year and a half or so ago, I was talking to a young lady, and I said, you know, what can I do? What could I tell somebody that would help you? And like, what do people need to know? And she said, I will never forget. She said, you know what? It's just a little gesture. If people could just be nice, and if they could just make me feel like I mean something. And I thought, well, you know what? Every time we can, we need to put a note and send a note that people matter and that they're important and that they're a child of God. Then we got to do that. And it's, you know, it's that simplicity, back to the simplicity of things.
Jesus doesn't command us to love one another because it's a simple task. Loving others is hard. Sometimes it's really hard. Connecting with others takes work and commitment and compassion. Yet we can start connecting with others by taking a seemingly small step to recognize that we are all human beings. We have a shared connection innately. We have warm hearts beating inside of us, and we are all already loved by our Creator. Jana's friend at Streetside Showers wanted to be recognized as a person worthy of kindness. We are all worthy of kindness. In the midst of betrayal and denial, Jesus called his disciples to love one another. In the midst of trolls and hateful words, two women took time to check up on each other through their messages on Twitter. In the midst of street-side showers, a woman was vulnerable and asked only that she be seen as a human being worthy of kindness. Connecting with others leads to an abundant life. We connect with others when we aim to love one another as Christ loves each of us. We are flawed. Just like the disciples, we know what it's like to betray our neighbors. We know what it's like to deny our neighbors. That's our reality. Yet God's grace is big enough in moments when we fail to be a loving neighbor or when we fail to be a loving church. When we focus on connecting with those around us, we open ourselves up to the possibility of sharing love. Just as Christ loved those around him, we too are called to love those around us. May we live into this calling today and every day. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the connections in our life. God, and we also lift up those conflicts that may be dividing us from living into the people you call us to be. God, as we lift those conflicts up to you, we ask that you give us clean hearts, that you give us new starts, fresh mornings every day. God, we know that you are working in the world in large and powerful ways, and for that we give you thanks. Help us this week to find ways to build connections with one another, to those in the world around us, so that we may truly live into the lives you call us to lead. Lives of love, lives of purpose, lives where you are the center. Help us love our neighbors. Amen. As we conclude today's service, we challenge you to go forth sharing Christ's love with the world, not to be hindered by uncertainties or by conflict, but instead to walk confidently in compassion, sharing love to everyone you meet. Amen.